Hey, it's Brother One.
And Brother Two.
From Two Brothers Mattress.
Don't miss our huge Memorial Day sale.
Going on now on all Serta mattresses.
Save up to $500 on Serta mattresses.
Visit one of our five stores or twobrothersmattress.com.
KSL at Night was recorded and produced this afternoon. KSL at Night. Some of Utah's top political specialists join a roundtable on the day's biggest stories. KSL is at 102.7 FM and on every smart speaker when you say play KSL News Radio.
Welcome back to KSL at Night. I'm Rusty Cannon, co-hosting tonight with Mara Carabello, and we have an exciting guest on to talk about a very, very important issue. With us tonight, we have Corey Astle, who is Vice President of the Business Roundtable in Washington, D.C. A good friend, a good man. Corey, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Rusty. Great to be here.
There was an important rule passed by the FTC. I think it was just days ago, maybe it was yesterday or just very recently, having to do with non-competes. And those in the business world familiar with this, right? When you have an employee that works for you, maybe is on the inside of information or how you make stuff or what have you, often they can sign or the company will have them sign a non-compete to prevent them from going elsewhere and I guess stealing secrets or what have you. But this rule, if we understand it right, from the FTC, and we're curious on your opinion with your kind of inside knowledge in Washington, D.C., is seeking to ban these. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So these non-compete agreements are something that businesses have used for a very long time to kind of keep employees from leaving the business to go work for a competitor or from starting a competing business. They do this to prevent employees from taking their training and their insider knowledge and bringing it to a competitor. And so the FTC's ban applies going forward to all workers at all levels of a business, regardless of income or seniority. It also applies retroactively for all workers other than what they call senior executives who work in a policymaking position and make a certain salary. But we can expect that the FTC's rule will face significant legal challenges. For starters, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce has announced that it intends to file a lawsuit addressing what it calls the FTC's power grab. And we can expect to see other business organizations and other industry associations join that lawsuit or file their own in the coming weeks. And these lawsuits will address serious questions about, first of all, whether this rule exceeds the FTC's authority under the FTC Act, as well as under the U.S. Supreme Court's major questions doctrine. So Section 5 of the FTC Act directs the FTC to prevent unfair methods of competition and unfair or deceptive practices. That statute also specifies that the FTC needs to pursue these objectives through adjudication, and that means through individual cases. And so rather than regulating from on high, the FTC is supposed to make decisions on a case-by-case basis. And so it's supposed to look at a given trade practice in a particular case at a particular moment in time because market dynamics change, the industries change, and it can vary widely and lead to different conclusions, even for similar conduct. And so the point being that there's a real question about whether Congress has even given the FTC authority to promulgate a rule like this on competition. And so what's more, as I said, a nationwide ban on non-compete agreements, it likely runs afoul of the U.S. Supreme Court's major questions doctrine, as elaborated in the West Virginia v. EPA case from a couple years ago. The Supreme Court ruled that Congress can't delegate to an agency without a clear expression of authority. Justice Antonin Scalia famously wrote that Congress does not hide elephants in mouse holes. And so what we mean is, like, here, the courts to allow the FTC to start issuing regulations based on new and innovative readings of the statute like this that fall well outside the statutory authority, well, that would set a dangerous precedent, and the Supreme Court has actually been moving in another direction in recent years toward giving less authority to federal agencies. But to the merits of the non-compete agreements, and this is stuff that you've already kind of mentioned, courts at the federal and state levels have repeatedly indicated there are important competition reasons for companies to use non-competes. I don't think anyone is really arguing that non-compete agreements should be used to, for example, prevent a Wendy's burger flipper from crossing the street to work at McDonald's. Something like that may have occurred in a place or two, and in those cases, it probably does need to be evaluated. But honestly, that's a state law change, and it should be addressed by the state. And big picture, that's not really what we're talking about with the FTC here. Mm-hmm. I think I think stakeholders are much more concerned with the FTC when it comes to traditional uses of non-competes. And for example, that would be like senior executives of a business who are privy to trade secrets and have confidential information. Businesses have a legitimate interest in protecting sensitive information, you know, including their strategic plans. They don't want high-level employees with access to all this knowledge and insider information to take it to a competitor, you know, across the street. And we also mean personnel with knowledge of proprietary technologies or methods. You know, it might fall short of actual trade secrets, but it's still valuable knowledge that competitors want. And specialized training is part of that as well. You know, companies invest heavily in training an employee, and it creates a huge disincentive to invest in an employee and train them up if that employee can turn around tomorrow and join a competitor. And specialized relationships is part of that as well. Businesses, I mean, they invest in an employee to build relationships, and that takes time. And so it's not so much that I think business world is completely opposed to doing something on non-compete agreements. It's just that the FTC has painted with such a broad brush that it's really hitting a lot of areas that don't make sense. And by declaring all non-competes illegal, the rule really needlessly prohibits like legitimate uses of non-competes, and it makes it harder for businesses to operate. And it may mean businesses are less willing to invest in an employee because they're worried, you know, she'll take her expensive training and use it right away at another job. And
so this is controversial, you know, right? I mean, in fact, when I looked at the vote, it was 3-2. So this is an interesting note, Mara. Someone we just sent from Utah, Melissa Holyoke, if I got her name right, was just named to the FTC as a commissioner, if that's their office title, commissioner. She voted no. It was 3-2. Hmm. This is controversial. And am I reading the tea leaves right? That this is not going to go down smoothly, right?
Well, remember that it's 3-2. You're going to have 3 Democratic votes versus 2 Republican votes. And so it is a Biden FTC. And so, you know, it's passed. It's done. So it's out there.
So is there any way to stop this? I mean, through congressional action, or is this something that is just going straight to court and litigated from there?
It's going to be litigated. Congress absolutely could do something about it. I'm not going to, you know, create hope in anyone for our listeners that's probably going to happen. But no, the rule is out there. And I mean, this is what administrative agencies can do. And that's why I kind of talked about how the Supreme Court is trying to rein that back. And that's where the litigation is going to happen, too, is like, well, you actually don't have authority to do this. And so Congress can act. Yes, they probably won't.
So, Corey,
it's going to need to be addressed through
you
litigation.
Explained well, I think, the relationship between the Federal Trade Commission, a subsidiary, and Congress and their give and take. What role does state law play? And I know that Utah has also had bills in our House and Senate about non-competes. What role do state passed laws play when you look at this FTC ruling?
Yeah, so this is traditionally the purview of state law. So in the past, the FTC, first of all, the FTC Act really doesn't give the agency authority to pass these sorts of laws. And traditionally, it hasn't been viewed as having that authority. And so states have really, you know, been where the action is when it comes to non-compete agreements. And you do have states. California is one that has banned all non-compete agreements, a few years ago. But each state has been able to set their own laws. And again, it's been traditionally the purview of states to make those decisions.
Well, this is a complicated issue, and it sounds like there'll be a lot of feathers flying. As always, we get a great inside scoop from Corey Astle, Vice President of the Business Roundtable. Thank you for joining us tonight on KSL at Night, and we'll be right back.
It's finally time to say goodbye to the snow and hello to spring, and right now is the best time to spring into adventure in an RV from a Motorsportsland RV Center. Through this week, come check out Motorsportsland's season kickoff event and find the RV you've been dreaming of. Save thousands and even tens of thousands off MSRP and find your next adventure at a Motorsportsland RV Center today.
Let Motorsportsland help you get away.
Motorsportsland.com.